Support for WGTD comes from the Carthage College Department of Music, presenting Beethoven, 5 Piano Concertos, 1 Pianist, featuring the New Philharmonic Orchestra under the baton of Illinois Professional Orchestra Association Conductor of the Year, Kirk Muspratt, along with Carthage's own Dr. Wael Farouk as soloist, Friday, April 6th at 7 p.m. in the A.F. Siebert Chapel. Tickets and more information at carthage.edu/tickets.
This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that highlights various local issues and organizations. It's co-hosted by Len Iaquinta, a nonprofit manager, fundraiser, and consultant, WGTD Walworth County correspondent Jim McClure, and by Linda Fleshinsky, a mother, grandmother, freelance writer, and former Racine School Board president. And now, here's today's host.
Welcome to Community Matters. I'm Troy McDonald. On March 29, 2018, Len Iaquinta hosted the WGTD and Kenosha Community Media Spring Candidates Forum. We've selected a few moments from last night for today's broadcast. To watch the entire forum, go to WGTD's Facebook page.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it. Okay. We're going to turn now to the next race, which is District 3. And we have with us both candidates, the incumbent, Jan Michalski. And Jan has furnished with me some information. He is the 3rd District incumbent. He's a retired machine tool technician from Chrysler. He has a BA in history from UW-Madison. He has an MBA from UW-Parkside. That's a Master of Business Administration. And has an apprenticeship with Wisconsin State Machine Tool through Gateway Technical College. He's lived in Kenosha for over 60 years, 6-0. He has served on the Public Safety and Welfare Committee, the Parks Commission, the City Plan Commission. He's chaired the Historical Preservation Commission. He's been on the Museum Board, the RKCAA Board of Directors. In the past, he's been the chair of the Water Commission and a member of Public Works and Stormwater. His challenger is Kyle Flood. His occupation is a restaurant server. His education is Tremper High School, University of Wisconsin Parkside, and he's currently a Gateway Technical College student. And he previously has served on the Kenosha Unified School District School Board. He's had a 1-3-year term from 2013 to 2016. Incumbent Jan Michalski, your opening statement, please, sir.
Yes, hello. With all respect to the gentleman from the 2nd District, I insist the 3rd District is the most diverse in this city. It goes all the way from the lake all the way to 37th Avenue. It involves Allendale, but it also involves the area around the railroad tracks by Bain Park. It involves the area around the uptown Grass Village area, and then the area between 30th Avenue and 37th. And each of these neighborhoods are very distinct from the others. And consequently, you know, sometimes you can't equate the district as a whole with individual neighborhood. Probably most of my effort and energy has been taken up by going into the area around the uptown area. There have been many improvements. If I can't get it done, it can't be done. I don't have a magic wand, but things are better. Better may not be good enough, but still, things have improved.
Thank you. Mr. Flood, your opening remarks, please.
Sure. First, I just want to thank everyone who was involved in putting this together, and thank you, Len, for hosting, or for moderating. My name's Kyle Flood. I was a former member of the Kenosha Unified School Board. I did not seek re-election. I lost an election for this office once before, and I'm making another go at it for several reasons. One, I think that leadership has failed our district for a really long time. I have lived in through all three different parts of the district that my opponent just mentioned. I've lived in Allendale, I've lived in Uptown, and I live on the more western end of the district now. I've seen the problems right there. I believe I'm running to address four main issues, I guess. And those are, we need to bring more opportunity to the Uptown area. The Uptown area has been struggling for far too long. Poverty and homelessness and drug addiction are all over. We need to prioritize our residential roads over the big road projects. We need to have safer streets by addressing how we police, and we need to restore our trust in our local government.
Thank you. Gentlemen, let me begin by asking Mr. Flood, what's the most important one or maybe two things that you would like to see solved in your district?
Sure.
Either by legislation or enforcement or what have you.
Sure. Directly in the district, the business environment of the uptown area is the number one thing. I would like to see us tackle the problem with the food desert that's been created with the closure of Pick and Save. I wish more had been done to prevent that closure. But it's too late for that, so I do think we need to get a supermarket in. Other than that, I think the main problem in my district is just the level of poverty and the level of crime, especially nonviolent crime, surrounding the opioid epidemic. And to do that, I think we have a lot of county board members, a lot of city council members, school board members, everyone who would love to address that issue. I've heard plenty talk about it during their campaign. Along with nonprofits, the city should be working with them more to address those issues and provide treatment resources.
Mr. Wachowski, what do you see as the important issues that you would work on in your next term?
Well, I'd like to address some of the comments that my opponent here has made. Number one, when it comes to the Uptown Brass Village, I have been working with them to improve the situation. Most people who go through the Uptown say things are better. We have created an Uptown Business Association in prelude to creating a bid. This is something that I don't consider myself the person to tell them what to do. You sit there and you say, well, you need leadership. These are people who know their own business. They know their own investment. This is their livelihood. They don't need to be told what to do. I am their servant. When they ask me for help, I'm there. I meet with them every month, and I work with them also on other issues. As far as the closing the Pick and Save, I had a conversation with Kyle here a few weeks ago, and I enumerated all the things that I have done. And surprisingly, he told me, that's exactly what I would have done. Gee, we're not so different after all. And that you have said. So, you know, really, I have done, there are some things that you cannot wave a magic wand. There are some things I'd like to be able to compel people to do things, but some things you just can't change that easily. You know, no magic wand. I've been working at it, and I know how to get things done if they can be done.
Well, Mr. Flood, what would you do differently from Mr. Bukowski? How would your term be different and be an improvement for the citizens of your district?
Sure. Speaking just towards Pick and Save or towards all issues?
Sure. You name it.
Sure. First of all, with the Pick and Save issue, a major contributor to the reason that store closed was the theft. We should have done more about policing in the area. We need more officers. Right now, I don't know who's aware, but we have less than 20 officers on the streets during any given shift. That is not enough for a city of over 100,000. And it's no wonder that the response times couldn't be fast enough to address the theft at that store. On top of that, other than that, can you just repeat the question one more time?
How would your district be different as an older person?
My opponent has done a few things in the past 2 years that I really just cannot agree with. He pushed heavily for the closure of First Step Services, leaving a giant hole in resources for the homeless. I would not have done that if the services did need to close. Then I would have proposed some kind of alternative, A lot of the road funding has been focused on some of the main roads, especially in the current alderman's own neighborhood. I don't think that's appropriate. I think we need to spread that out to residential roads throughout the district. I've been keeping notes on which roads, as I knock the doors, really need the most work. And on top of that, I think what would be most different is that right now, people can't trust government, whether it's local, state, national, whatever it is. And Mr. Wachowski's excuses aren't going to cut it.
Sure. Mr. Wachowski, I wonder if you could tell us, what do you see as the most critical problem facing your district in the future that needs to be addressed before it becomes a problem?
Oh, absolutely. Some of the issues that are unfortunately beyond the city's purview in many respects, a lot of crime, the opioid crisis, but the city and the county do work together on crime. I've gotten a lot of drug houses shut down. I've got a lot of blighted properties condemned and raised. And I would like to address something that Mr. Flood said about the First Step. You know, every elected official has got to make a choice, and I think the people who vote for them have to understand what the choice is. Is it the duty of the elected official to defy the will of his constituents or his or her constituents, or to basically reflect what the constituents want. Because when it came to advocating for the closure of First Step, it wasn't even close. I mean, it wasn't even close.
Okay, just a final question. What's the impact going to be of the increasing density of housing in your area of the community, Mr. Flood? Are you concerned about it, or do you see it as a good thing?
Right now, I see it as a good thing. We need more housing. We have a lot of people coming in here. I see that generally as a good thing so far, but we need to be careful. We need to be fiscally responsible as we move forward.
Mr. Michalski, what do you feel about the housing?
I think in my district, the goal should not be necessarily higher density, but lower density and more owner-occupied housing. There have been some statistics that once the owner-occupied exceed 50%, the crime rate goes down precipitously, and that's what I'm in favor of.
Thank you both very much, District 7 for the City of Kenosha. And we have with us the incumbent, Patrick Giuliana, who's president at Patrick Automotive, Inc. And we have Gregory Bennett, Jr., who's challenging him. And as I understand it, you're a write-in candidate. Is that right?
Correct.
Mr. Bennett? Mr. Bennett tells me that he was born in November 79 at St. Catherine's Hospital when it was down on Sheridan Road. Graduated from Reuther High School and then left to attend college in New York. He joined the United States Army. After the military, he opened a record label and signed a recording contract. As an artist, Gregory enjoys playing, writing, as well as singing. He held several events in Columbus and Lincoln Park in the past, and as a result, Mr. Bennett was called upon by the mayor to sit on his committee to bring about more change in Kenosha Parks. He sits on more boards and committees since then, and he works with the KUC. He also works with the Coalition for Dismantling Racism, and he's on the Kindness Committee. His professional background, other than the military, is mainly in project support WIFESET. He's also run HR departments, as well as working in human services. So we're going to begin with an opening statement, please, from the incumbent, Mr. Giuliana.
I want to thank WGTD, Tony, for your time and Kenosha Access, and been an alderman since 2008, been very, very dedicated to the district that I live in because I was born in that district, and working on repurposing some of the vacant buildings down there. We're in the process of removing the Old Bain School that was built in 1906. We're going to have a state-of-the-art fire station put up there. The former Vincent McCall building on 56th and 22nd is going to become a affordable market rate apartments. I'm very excited about that, and I'm very excited about the Chrysler property that we've been working on, and hopefully it's going to be a benefit for the city overall.
Thank you. Your opening statement, please, Mr. Bennett.
I basically just want to thank God, my mama, and y'all, plus the city for even having me here, because it's like the second time I've been invited to anything. But my whole basic thing is we all die. The goal is not to live forever, but to create something that will. And it's time now that a younger generation takes its place and actually takes self-accountability and bring our city to a better place that it's supposed to be.
Anything else?
No.
All right, let's quickly move on to some questions then. Mr. Bennett, tell us what you think you would address, what issues you think are important with respect to District 7, and what kind of issues you'd like to address, and what improvements you would like to see made in your area of the community.
It basically boils down to an old saying, doing something the same, expecting a different result. We've been doing it the same this whole time. The city's always been doing it the same. I want to it's time that we actually put the people and make them accountable as well. I come from military background, but at the same time, I come from the same background that most of these people in impoverished neighborhoods come from. So what I would actually propose is giving them the chance and the landlords a chance to work together and have actual programs so they work and live united.
Mr. Giuliano, the same question for you. What would you address in your next term with respect to improving the district?
Well, I first ran in 1980. I was there for two terms. And I ran because of the conditions of the housing within the district. At that time there, we were 51% owner-occupied. But I could see the deterioration happening back then. I ran for office in 2008, and I pretty much ran on the same issue, along with crime and blight. Now, today, we're at 72% owner-occupied properties. And we've been working diligently with the departments within the city to address some issues. I'm working, and I'm going to continue working to hold quite a few of the absentee landlords accountable for the conditions of their property. We have a great group of landlords, the Commercial Landlords Association. I've met with them on a few occasions. Very, very good, very, very dedicated, and they're an asset to the city. But we have landlords that are outside of the association that don't even live in the city, in a lot of cases don't even live in the state. All right, it's a cash cow for them. They put a minimum investment back, okay, and they take advantage of tenants that don't have an alternative to move.
Thank you. Now, I'd like to turn to the issues of redevelopment. You mentioned, Mr. Giuliano mentioned Bain School coming down and a fire station going in. Mr. Bennett, I'd like to hear your views about the changes in your neighborhood. It's going to be a lot of transition in the neighborhood and in the surrounding areas, too. What do you think you need to be looking out for in the future? What are you going to take care of?
With Bain, it's already done. There's no reason to cry over spilt milk to me. Plus, the fire people, they do deserve a new place. You know what I mean? I think that's good. I think that we could have used it for something else. I think we could have used it for a home to shelter. I think we could have used it for community centers. I think it could have been used for way more things. But if you want to spend more money, you know what I mean, then that's cool. But at the same time, I like the fact that there's going to be an apartment complex over by the old flea market. I like the way that they're actually renovating that. I like that. Like, that's not something I can't cast stones or something I like. But when it comes to everything else, as far as the landlords, the rebuilding of Columbus Park, that should have been done a long time ago instead of planting grass on there. We're the only district where you have a park, but it's only grass. How do kids call a park if it only just has grass? There's no basketball court. You turned down the best baseball fields we had just to put it all the way on 45th to people that have to catch a bus three times just to go somewhere where they kids can enjoy a park. But as far as me, what I'm actually going to do first is going to start with area beautification. We're going to start with area beautification with each ward has a certain day, and we're also going to do more actually community fundraising so we can actually build the city like we want to. Instead of begging the city to do it, we're taking some self-accountability. And after that, that's when we'll go into the businesses and allow more diverse businesses, since everybody speaks about diversity. It's Kenosha. Everybody's diverse. So what are you going to do about it? The crime is diverse. Everything is diverse. But what's happening is nobody's working together in diversity to make real change. It's just talking. It's time for action and not acting.
Mr. Giuliano, what would you think about the areas that in your neighborhood, the problems in your neighborhood, or the good things in your neighborhood that you want to enhance in your next term?
Well, first off, we'll start with the good. The good is we are very, very diligent as a city to address the crime, the blight, and the deterioration. We've had a 12, almost 13% reduction in calls for service as far as police and fire and health go, because we've been staying on top of it. And that's massive when you're talking about a district the size of that I have with a high percentage of rental units. And the other issue, Columbus Park. My opponent stated Columbus Park. We don't have basketball hoops. We took out the baseball diamond. Well, last year we took out the baseball diamond because of the festivals and because of lack of use of the baseball diamond. We had the bleachers there. We had all the electric. All the facilities were there. Minimal use at best. With the basketball hoops, we had them there. In 2008, I was receiving phone calls from parents, and I got a high, high diversity population. And diversity made this country. People from all ethnic backgrounds made this country. and I'm blessed to have them in my district. They called me. Their kids were becoming mugged. They were stealing their bicycles, stealing their shoes, stealing their money. They were doing drugs. We had signs posted. I had signs posted. The park closed 10 o'clock. They were in there at 10, 11, 12, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, creating problems. So we turned around and we took out the basketball hoops. Last year we took out the ball diamond, and now we're working to make a tot park out of it.
Thank you very much. That closes this race. All right, we're going to move on now to our next race for city council. And we have from District 16, the incumbent, Jesse Lewis Downing, and his challenger, Dominic Ruffalo. Excuse me. Mr. Downing is an account sales manager for DPSG. He was educated in the high schools, and he was an alderman on the Kenosha City Council for a total of 15-plus years. Mr. Ruffalo, occupation has been a bailiff, Branch 2 of Kenosha County. He's been a substitute teacher at Gateway Technical College. He's had some college education, and he previously was a founding board member and had a 6-year term as union steward for PLEHC. Let's begin with our incumbent. I ask Mr. Downing for his 60-second opening statement. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Aquina. As alderman of the 16th District, which is the largest district in the city of Kenosha, we have houses that are anywhere from $80,000 to $800,000 a house. We have apartment complexes. The biggest thing we have going on right now in the 16th District is all the development that's going on out there. Everything from Uline to Children's Hospital, which is being built out there now, the sale of Dairyland, the develop of a couple more warehouses that are going up out there. The 16th District continues to grow. Now is not the time for change. Now is the time to continue doing what we're doing out there and take care of our infrastructure in the 16th District. Thank you.
All right. Let's move on then and ask your challenger, Mr. Ruffalo, for his opening statement, please.
Hi, thanks for having me. My name is Dominic Ruffalo. I'm a lifelong resident of Kenosha, born and raised here, and I'm the son of two Italian immigrants. The 16th District, as my opponent said, is huge. I personally knocked on 1,200 doors. I have a lot of input from what the needs of people are. And I think we need better communication with all the areas that the 16th abuts against, Summers, Pleasant Prairie, Bristol, and Paris. And we need better communications with them to see what kind of growth they're going to experience and make sure the infrastructure that we have is proper.
Thank you. Now, Mr. Downey raised the issue already of economic development and a lot of construction going on of various kinds in the district. Mr. Ruffalo, let me start with you. What's the impact of the economic development, the residential construction, business construction? What are the issues in your area that you want to watch out for if you were to be serving as alderperson for the next term?
Well, I have new ideas and new vision. The biggest concern I got west of the interstate is not enough police and fire protection. My idea was maybe having a satellite station at our county building on Highway 45. That could cover some of the issues we have with police and fire. The interstate growth is awesome, but how are our secondary roads leading to it? What kind of manufacturing is coming, or what kind of retails are coming, is very important to the residents and the tourism. The tourism is huge on the interstate. And is there enough? Do we need a convention center out there?
Mr. Downing, what do you see as the issues with all this growth and change in your district? What would you focus on for the benefit of your citizens in your next term?
The issues that we're focusing on now is we have our intergovernment agreement with all the surrounding communities. We need police and fire west of the interstate, which is also being addressed with the superstation that's being built on 22nd Avenue. The Station 7 will be dedicated to west of Green Bay Road. That's part of that. The road roads are also being addressed. 104th Avenue is being done this year. We applied for T grants for that, so that it doesn't come out of Kenosha taxpayers, it comes out of the federal government.
With all the economic development and road building, isn't that going to also create a lot of problems for the people who live in your area? How can we mitigate the effects of so much rapid change in your area, Mr. Ruffalo?
We need better controls at our intersections, better timing of our stoplights, maybe have a better usage of our frontage roads with some exits, inlets. Growth is awesome. Kenosha's on the right path so long as there's enough ways to get there. You know, I live off of Highway 50, and it's a mess. Eventually, that's going to get widened by the state. I don't know exactly when, but it's right now. It's there's more people than we have roads.
Mr. Downing, how do you see it with all this change happening in your District 16? What's the story? How are we going to manage that change and mitigate the possible deleterious effects of so much rapid change?
There is a plan, in fact, for transportation. In 2020, Highway 50 is supposed to be done. We're supposed to be constructed. 158 is also being reconstructed to four lanes from the interstate all the way up to Green Bay Road. 142, which is the northern boundary, is also being four-laned from the interstate, where it already goes up to just past Amazon, just east of Amazon, all the way to south of Walmart. Roads are being done. Stoplights are being put in.
As another question into the change in your district, I wonder, gentlemen, if you could tell us what would you envision as what you would like that district to be like in 3 to 5 years? How would you like to see it made better and more accommodating for the people who live there? What would you do to make it better in the future, Mr. Ruffalo?
I know it's going to seem funny. I'd like to see some kind of Olympic training center here, like a curling center. I think a curling center would be a fine asset to the city of Kenosha, and we could either put it, show some interest on someplace on the interstate, or the old AMC property would be excellent for that. Kenosha is at the cusp of becoming, it's a great city now, but it's really going to blossom within the next 5 years.
Mr. Downing, what's your vision for what you'd like to see that district become?
I would like to see it continue growing the way it is, with industrial and manufacturing along the interstate, with apartment and single-family homes east of the interstate, which is there's a lot of land available. Instead of developing it there and putting manufacturing there, put single-family homes there, put apartment complexes there. And then along with the manufacturing and warehousing that's going on by the interstate, we have to figure out as a city on how to get our city people out to those jobs. There are a lot of people that don't have transportation. We got to figure out a way to get them to those places. If you have companies that are opening here, you got to get the employees there. There are people here in Kenosha that want to work but don't have transportation.
Do you agree with that, Mr. Ruffalo?
Yes. Everybody that I talk to, I talked to a lot of people, their biggest concern is not enough communication.
Sounds like both of you are very much interested in seeing that there's good interoperative agreements between the various bodies, municipalities and villages and townships. Is that right?
Absolutely. And with their aldermen. And with their aldermen.
Mr. Downing?
Yes, and we have a boundary agreements and agreements. We work with them anytime a development comes in. We know what's going on in Summers, and Summers knows what's going on by us. Paris knows what's going on, and we know what's going on in Paris.
Sounds like you're satisfied with the current state of them.
Yes.
Thank you both very much. Appreciate you being here tonight.
Thank you.
We're going to move now to District 12, and we have the incumbent, Lee Blau. Thank you for being here. And challenger, Gabe Nudo. Thank you for being here. Our incumbent, Ms. Blau, has provided some biographical information for me. She's a two-term
member of the Kenosha County Board, elected in 2014. She's the chairperson of the KCB Judiciary and Law Committee and a member of the Human Services Committee. She's a Kenosha County liaison for the Pringle Nature Center, and she's been on the committee for the Healthy People Kenosha County 2020 Multi-Use Trail, which is really a pretty cool thing. Gabe Nuno is retired. He attended the technical school in Cosenza, where my grandmother grew up. Graduated from the University of Wisconsin School of Real Estate. He's completed his CCIM, his GRI, and his CPM. And besides all those initials, his previous elected experience has been 3 terms as a county board supervisor. Ms. Blau, may we have your opening statement, please?
I'd like to thank everybody here at the WGTD staff for having this forum. My name is Leah Blau. I'm running for re-election for the supervisor position, District 12. I've been a registered nurse for almost 30 years and a supervisor, as you said, for 4 years now. I was raised and educated here in Kenosha County and graduated from the schools here, and I went to nursing school at UW-Milwaukee. My nursing background and community activities have made me uniquely qualified for the county board. I care about the well-being of Kenosha County residents and moving Kenosha County forward. During my tenure, I've helped maintain Kenosha County's excellent credit rating while supporting the expansion of the care center to address the increasing demands of mental health services and drug and alcohol treatment. I've supported the county's funding initiative for CABA. I've been instrumental in expanding parks and recreation. And that's it.
Well, thank you. Mr. Nuto, may I have your opening statement, please?
Thank you for having us here tonight. And my name is Gabe Nuto. I've been living in Kenosha for almost 50 years. I came from Italy. And I worked at the Old American Motors many, many years ago for about 10 years. And I'm a former UAW member. And for the last 35 years before my retirement, I was owner of a small business in real estate and financing. I've been on the county board for 3 different terms, and presently I'm on the board of trustee at Brookside.
Thank you. Well, we dig right in with your impressions of what's the important issue people are worried about in the District 12 and how you would help them. Let me start with Mr. Nuto. As you've talked to people in the district, what are people telling you? What are you interested in focusing on?
Well, most of the people in my district, basically, they're not even aware that there is a county board supervisor. There is no communication at all in that district. The problems they really have there is pretty much with the streets. So what we need to do is have some cooperation with the aldermen. In District 12, there are 3 different aldermen that we serve with, so there should be some cooperation. Another thing is keep open communication with the people in the district, and just to let them know what's going on and get them involved in different things.
Ms. Blau, what's your response to that?
Okay, I would like to address the communication part, where I can honestly say that when Mr. Nuto was my supervisor, I did not receive any communication from him as well. I had never heard anything from him, and neither have my constituents that I have talked to. As far as what I'm interested in dealing with, we've been talking about the mental health crisis, and I've supported the expansion of the care center to help with the county's mental health substance abuse issues. I would like to tackle the problem further by finding mental health professionals, more mental health professional caregivers to come to Kenosha County. We have a very serious shortage in Kenosha County, as well as the entire nation, of mental health professional caregivers, and I'm hoping to maybe speak with the local colleges to offer, you know, possible programs to train people, you know, to fill that need, and work on some incentives that would encourage our millennials perhaps to come to school here, stay in Kenosha County, and work here, you know, after graduation. I think those things are important, especially with the coming up Foxconn. We're going to have a workforce shortage and a problem there. We need skilled people to come and work at these jobs, and I think that's an important issue.
What will be the economic impact of the increase in population and the new manufacturing and other jobs that are coming into Kenosha County with respect to your area in District 12, Mr. Noodle? There's a lot of change. It's happening fast. What do you see in the horizon? How are you going to respond?
Well, I guess it's a good thing. Anytime good jobs come in, it's something good. We need pretty much to work on that, and with the universities and Gateway, people can learn, and I'm all for good jobs. Foxconn is going to be here. Whether we like it or not, it's going to be here. I think it's a great thing, and it's going to bring about, in the way they say, about 13,000 jobs, so we're going to have to work with them, and working with Gateway to train people for jobs, and just go from there. Housing is going to be a problem, so we're going to have to work on housing. And being in, I was in real estate for, in the real estate industry for about 35 years. There is too many red tapes they got to go through, and housing is short, so we got to deal on that.
Well, we're talking a lot about affordable housing these days, or workforce housing. I'm not sure what the difference is between those two. But with your background, what kind of housing does your district need, and how will you try to promote that?
Well, my district, basically, it's pretty well full as far as housing is concerned. But it's going to be changing because with the new jobs, people are going to be moving up, and there's new people coming in the district. And we got to try to keep the taxes low and not to waste any money. Right now, there's quite a bit of waste in government.
Ms. Blau, with all the changes coming in your district, what do you see as the issues, and what about the impact on housing in your district? What is that going to be of concern in the future, maintaining the quality and improving the quality of housing and affordable housing?
Yes, I definitely think that's going to be an issue, and also maintaining, you know, maintaining our taxes within a reasonable level. I know we had been talking. It's been in the paper about the dark stores tax loophole. There was some failure at the state level to get, you know, any legislation passed. I would like to encourage the state legislators to give that a revisit, you know, to close this loophole to prevent shifting this revenue loss to our tax, you know, Kenosha tax payers. And with Foxconn coming, we definitely need to work with Summers and with Mount Pleasant to expand the housing. You know, and talk further about that.
At the end of your next two-year term, if you're reelected, Ms. Blau, what do you want people to be able to say about you that you've accomplished?
Well, I have been active in different aspects of the Kenosha County, on the Kenosha County Board. I had written at, you know, more affecting the state, local, and national level, a Fair Voters Maps resolution encouraging our state government to make sure that, you know, at the next census that the voter maps are drawn, you know, to fairly represent our population. That way we can make sure our voters choose our representatives and not the other way around.
Mr. Noodle, what at the end of your term, if you're elected, what do you want people to be able to say about you, what you've accomplished? What would you want?
I want to be able for them to say that I kept my word on what I promised them that I was going to do. One is communication. That I worked with our law enforcement to keep a safe place for Kenosha. I tried to reduce the waste that we have in government. As a good example, we'll be trying to collect the quite a few million dollars that we have in back taxes, where the properties have been sitting there, nobody paying taxes, and some of the people that should do their work and collect the money haven't done a thing. As
well,
a county board supervisor, we should work on that to make them do their job.
Thank you very much. Well, now we're going to move on to our next county board district. That's number 20. And we have with us the incumbent, John Poole, and his challenger, Amy Wagner. Mr. Poole has provided me with some biographical information, which I'll reference. He's seeking re-election to the county board after serving two terms. He's a resident of Paddock Lake. The district also covers northern Salem, he points out. Mr. Poole is a Vietnam veteran, having served in the U.S. Marine Corps, and was discharged as a Sergeant E-5. He
He has a degree in accounting from Illinois State University and has worked for national and international companies, as well as not-for-profits, in his 40-plus years of accounting. Amy Wagner is a teacher at the Bristol School. She earned her Bachelor of Arts at Columbia College in Chicago and her Master's in Education at Carthage College. She has no previous elected experience. So I'm going to begin with asking our incumbent, Mr. Poole, for his opening remarks, please.
Thank you, Len. And thank you to WGTD for hosting this debate. I'm John Poole, and I've been the County Board Supervisor for 4 years for District 20. And I've been an advocate for the taxpayer, having worked with constituents on zoning issues, speed issues on the roads, and power line right-of-way issues. I voted in favor of the Salem Business Park, supported Foxconn, and supported CABA's efforts to bring jobs to Kenosha County. And my opponent's campaign has disparaged my military service during the Vietnam War by saying I never served. That is entirely false, as you mentioned in the opening remarks there. And it just goes to show how far they will go to disparage the military. The treatment that I and other Vietnam veterans received when returning was disgusting. And it appears my opponent's campaign wishes to continue it. Thank you.
All right. Let me move on then and ask Ms. Wagner for her opening remarks, please.
Okay, first of all, I'd like to address the fact that my campaign has in no way ever said word one about Mr. Poole at all. Negative or otherwise, my father-in-law is a decorated World War II hero. Four of my uncles served in the Vietnam War. There is no way that I would make a disparaging comment about anybody who gave service to our country. I have been rooted in this community for 24 years, raised my family here. I am an insightful leader that will give our community the opportunity to have their voices heard. I consider it an honor to hold a public position, and in doing so as a county board supervisor, will do so being fiscally responsible to ensure that we maintain the services that we have so grown to love. My family has appreciated the bucolic community, and I'd like to see that quality of life maintained.
Thank you. All right, let's dig right into it. Ms. Wagner, you talked about leadership. What kind of leadership are we talking about? What's the issue or problem or service that you would be championing in response to your constituents?
Well, I can only speak to myself because I, quite frankly, do not know Mr. Poole at all. I am a teacher at Bristol for 14 years now, formerly KUSD. I was on the task force to put the neighborhood playground into Montgomery Lake Highlands. I've served on two private school boards, and I'm currently a friendly visitor for the Kenosha Area Family and Aging Services. I've also led the way for our junior high to do service learning projects at Bristol School, one of which funded much-needed items for the Wastosha Senior Center. I am self-driven. I actually had two radio programs on WGTD that were award-winning every year they were on the air with zero budget, and we were able to be self-sustaining. I also lead the way in fine arts in my school through our drama club, which had a zero budget again, and now we operate $20,000, nearly $20,000 in the black, and provide children with all kinds of experience in the arts.
Thank you. Mr. Poole, tell me about your leadership in the present and what you would be leading us toward in the future.
Well, I think the biggest improvement that Kenosha County would be to reduce its dependence on bonding. When I joined the county board, the total debt was around $100 million, and this year the total will be around $128 million. That's $750 in debt for each man, woman, and child in the county. Now, Washington County would be a good example for us. They will be debt-free in 2 years. We have $128 million in debt, and Washington County has $8 million. And I'm striving to be more like Washington County, and that's what I would be striving for.
You've been listening to the WGTD and Kenosha Community Media Spring Candidates Forum. To watch the entire forum, visit WGTD's Facebook page.
You've been listening to Community Matters. All programs are archived at WGTD.org. Click shows. This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Support comes from Kenosha Winter Harbor Market, featuring Cova Bees, offering organic body butters made from natural butters and pure essential oils. Jars are available in various sizes and make great Mother's Day gifts. The market is open Saturdays at the Rody from 10 until 2.
Support comes from the University of Wisconsin Parkside Master's Degree in Mental Health Counseling. Build a career as a licensed professional counselor and mental health and wellness.